Dickerson and Hood, but it's Clinton Yates and Jen Latta. We're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. All guests on the program appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. You can reach us at 1-888-8-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. Tune in tomorrow night for ESPN Radio's coverage of the ESPYs presented by Capital One. Pre-show coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, followed by the post-show at 11 p.m. Eastern. It's brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. You ever been to the ESPYs, Jim?
I haven't been to the ESPYs. It's a little bit of a bucket list thing for me. I would love to go and participate in it, but it hasn't happened yet.
I have now been thrice, and I must say it is very fun. No, I mean that in the sense that, like, I've gotten to experience it in different ways. Because the first time I went, I was kind of like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I'm just kind of, you know, moving the red carpet. The second time I did a live show with a couple people, Diana Rossini and Pete Rosenberg, which was fun. The third time I got to interview people on my own. So my point is, I got to wear a bunch of different stuff, you know what I'm saying, on the red carpet, which was excellent because that's really the whole fun of what everybody's doing there. So it's a good time. If you ever get a chance to cover that, please do it because it is good. Now,
hey, if you could pull some strings for me, Clinton,
okay,
that would be legit. Like, that would be
cool. Los Angeles strings, that's who I need, Jen Latta. Okay, that works. I will put my people on it. I don't have people, so we'll see what happens. The ESPYs are going to be tomorrow. And, you know, it's been quarantine. We've been talking about what we've been trying to do to keep ourselves, entertained. So we're going to hand out some awards. And the first category, if you will, by the way, people, if you're listening, do not think this is some hyper-produced bit. We're just talking about things that we want to talk about, and we're using this as a function because the ESPYs are tomorrow. The best binge-watch show to fill the void of sports. Jen Latta, what is it for you?
Listen, man, I got into The Circle at the beginning of the quarantine. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard of The Circle, and The Circle has become one of those things where people talk about. It's like a Fight Club kind of situation, except that Rule 2 is, in fact, the opposite of Rule 1. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you don't talk about The Circle, but you do talk about the fact that you don't talk about The Circle. And right. That's all I've heard people saying
right.
about it.
It was fascinating. Like, I was watching, and I was like, this is trash. I'm trash from Toy Story 4. And it was actually so addicting. Like, I couldn't turn it off. It was one of those things where I just was like, next, 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 next. Oh, is
what
that a crying
it?
Baby? No, that's not a crying baby. I'm sure that's somebody else's crying baby.
Right.
The concept is these people are basically quarantined, which is hilarious, the coincidental nature of that. And then they communicate via text messages and like group chat. And you can reach out to people that are all quarantined in the same space and you try to develop relationships, but you don't have to be who you are. So like some of the women were posing as men. Some of the women, when they put their picture out there, they were posing as like supermodels, like so their appearance was different than they actually were. It's a fascinating concept. And then there was a winner at the end. The people would vote every day, a little Survivor-esque. And at the end, there was a person that won the whole thing. And like, so many different layers to it. Really, again, addicting. You probably thought I was going to say Tiger King. I did not love Tiger King. I may be in, like, the one percentage of people who was like, no, this isn't for me.
Dickerson and Hood on ESPN Radio, Clinton Yates and Jen Latta. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. This is Shower Sessions, part interview, part concert, all from the shower. Grammy winner St. Vincent invites up-and-coming artists to sing, share, and get funky all in the sound booth of home, The Shower. Watch now at youtube.com/progressive. Now, Tiger King, as is known in my household, actively got my attention. Mainly because, and this is going to be so nerdy, so people just deal with it. Like, the journalism story of Tiger King is fascinating. Like, there was a guy there going to make a documentary. There was another guy there shooting a reality show. Dude also had all of his own cameras. So there's this whole follow the money situation there in terms of like why anybody shot anything and where all the footage came from and who was talking to who. That kind of leads me to believe that if that movie doesn't get made, then the Tiger King's not in jail. But that's another story. Overall, though, it was fascinating. I'm sorry. People and what they do with wild animals, I did not know. The beautiful women flocked to tiger cubs in Las Vegas to party with random humans. I was not
really?
Familiar
How
with that subset of America.
How do you think Siegfried and Roy stayed in business for so long?
You know, that's a good point. I thought people were just wondered by the magic of whatever it is they put on a show. But apparently, a lot of people are really into small tigers. And I was not familiar with that simply as a draw. So that was fascinating to me to find out that you could maintain any sort of a living on this without being like above board completely. These dudes are just out there in the wilderness effectively breeding animals and charging money for it. That just seems so, I don't even know.
Would you binge watch a show on Carol Baskins? A documentary.
Absolutely.
On Carol Baskins. That's what I'm waiting for. I want that.
Carol Baskins is 100% the most interesting person in that entire situation.
Well, because she probably killed her previous husband, and she makes her current husband walk around on a leash for her marriage photographs. Like,
thank you.
But okay. So here's where they lost me, Clinton. When they were eating the expired meat from Walmart that they were supposed to be serving to the tigers. Like, you know what? No. And look, full disclosure, did I watch the whole thing? Hell yes, I watched the whole thing. I watched it from start to finish.
You know what?
But I watched it. I hate watched it. I was disgusted with myself for watching it. Because I was like, these people are like, they disgusted me. At every single turn, I was more disgusted by their antics.
Everybody on the show, for lack of a better term outside of, say, I don't know, the family members of her first husband, is a lowlife, to use my dad's term. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's clear. You're walking into this understanding, and maybe outside of the woman who got her arm bit off, she's not a lowlife. You know what I'm saying? But, like, overall, that show was fascinating. I don't know how, I mean, look, I understand that it's probably a shelf life on that, but that window into that world, to me, was as interesting a thing as I'd seen on any television program in a long time, because I knew nothing of it.
That's a good point. And you could see, obviously, I was captivated by it. It held my attention. Again, like I said, it was a hate watch. I hated every moment of it when they started revealing, you know, and the best part about it, if there was a redemptive moment, was when his ex-husband got new teeth. Like,
yo.
I was like, okay, all right, you're kind of attractive. Like, and then I hated myself a little more.
For actually being involved.
Did you actually see the update that Carol Baskins now owns the Tiger King?
Yes, she won the lawsuit.
So she won the battle.
So she now owns his property in Oklahoma, right?
I forget the other character that ended up buying it from him, but she got it from him. Yeah, so now she owns it.
Jeff Lowe?
F. Lowe, yes.
Jeff Lowe, that guy is the A1 lowlife, by the way, in the entire situation. Like, I don't even dislike him, because he's open with his. You know what I'm saying? He was like, by the way, I look like a scheming, maybe not rich guy, as you can tell by my lifestyle. I'm here for one thing. You know, it was pretty interesting. But
yeah, I wanted to drop him off the back of a truck when he was talking about his fiance/girlfriend and how she'd have to, like, snap her body back into shape after she had the baby. I was like,
unsavory. So the award goes to Tiger King. Of course, the question, Jen, quickly becomes, would you ever go to any of the parks in that movie?
Now, you know the answer to that. Absolutely.
I love it. Family fun for us all. I would definitely go to one of those parks. And if somebody wants to invite me to one, I'll bring all my friends too. Dickerson and Hood on ESPN Radio. Clint Yates and Jen Latta filling in here on a Saturday. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80 are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You want to call us? 1-888-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The ESPYs are tomorrow, so we've been going through different topics as if they were going to be happening, but we've been making them up on our own. And the next one we're making up is, of course, the ESPY for the best quarantine app. Now, our options here are Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. From my understanding, there might be a poll somewhere on the Twitter box about this. But this is fueled for a couple of different reasons. But you also heard the song at the top of the segment based on one specific video that I just tweeted out. If you want to check us out, at Jen Latta, at Clinton Yates on Twitter.
All right, wait, before we get into the video, I want to mention a couple of honorable mentions that I think have helped people get through the shelter-in-place quarantine. One is the Calm app. And any app that really addresses mental health, right, or that gives you that moment of zen in, like, the chaos and uncertainty and anxiety that has existed over the last 90-plus days. Have we crossed the 100-day mark yet, by the way?
That's a good question.
I think we're right. It's got to be right up there. And then I have been crushing the Peloton app. not an endorsement.
Okay, so hold on.
Just,
are
like,
you a bike-free Peloton app person?
I don't have a bike. I've been using the outdoor runs. So like it's a coach in your ear who like coaches you through a run. So there's like intervals and there's like HIIT training and there's like long runs, fun runs, and they have music, playlists and stuff. So just need to mention that those two have been critical in my survival over the last 3 months. So I just want to throw that out there as a honorable mention. Thank you for these apps.
That's fair, because it was only yesterday that I even learned that Peloton was a not bike necessity. Not a bike necessary app. I assumed that everything was related to that. Turns out it's not. And you don't really need it at all. Who knew? You knew. Anyway, so some of the other quarantine apps, obviously Twitter and Instagram. But here's the deal. I don't really mess with TikTok. I just watch the TikToks that make it to Twitter. Because I feel like, as a nearly 40-year-old man, TikTok is not really my space. And even when you're just watching, it still feels kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, being the chaperone at a dance, like, I don't mind doing it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, and I'm certainly not one of those teachers that would dance with the kids like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? But even being there is weird. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I wait till they get to Twitter before I pass judgment. But the one that just crossed my desk today with these kids dancing to Sweet Dreams, my God, this is good. Jen, have you seen this? Did you watch this during the break?
I watched it earlier today. Gave me a good chuckle. And I'm rewatching it now. You know, I'm not going to do play by play for you, but you got four men who are, who, like you said, are
right,
dancing.
You can't even keep a straight face.
But what the best part about it is you totally can see the friend dynamic developing, right? They don't say a single word, but based on their positions, where they're standing, and then their performance, you know how this went down, right? Like, I think you and I could guess the conversation. It had to be led by either guy in the green shirt or dude all the way on the left who has the most swagger I've ever seen.
That guy is a star. And they clearly had to count in. The guy on the far right was the guy who was willing to do it but did not necessarily want to be in the video, but they needed him for numbers. The guy in the back was just there. He's got the slippers on. He's got the hat on. And he's like, oh, yeah. You know, this is my parking lot. They were at his house.
I was going to say that. They needed his car to get where they were, or they had taken his car to wherever they were. And then he was like, no, man, I'm in this.
Absolutely. So they pop in on Sweet Dreams, as you guys know the song by, was it Eurythmics? That's the name of that band. Mm-hmm. And so they do what I call just a little hip pump for the first 20 seconds of this video, a little left and right, just to let you know that things are moving in that area. And then it cuts to when the sort of chorus comes in and the guy on the left takes over because they start doing a little two-step and he adds this hand flare to it that is nothing but funky. This is the best video I've seen in a long time.
Basically flipping his hair, right?
Yes, but he's got no hair and it looks great. And he's looking off to the camera. This is fantastic. So, I don't know what my vote is because all my favorite Twitter videos are now from TikTok. It's very, very confusing.
All right. I can say this with certainty. It has to go to TikTok. The number of people who have joined TikTok in the last 90 days as a kind of a balm for the boredom has to put it up there, right? It gets it some extra votes. I have an 11-year-old son. All he does is scroll TikTok and post videos. I mean, like he'll come and tell me a joke or something and I'll be like, where'd you hear that? TikTok? He'll be like, yeah. every conversation has started at TikTok. That's the flashpoint for him at this point. So I use him as like a case study for his age group. I think they are all in it.
That's fair. I mean, that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? And the thing with me is that TikTok is still yet to get to a creative level that has forced me to join it. But this might be it. This might be the thing that gets me watching TikTok every day. Because for me, it's as much about, like, am I even liking what's on there in terms of what it brings from an innovation standpoint? And I'm also not going to lie, I'm a little upset at TikTok being in existence because it reminds me so much of Vine, which I loved more than anything. Vine was the jam, okay? And it got eaten alive by Twitter or whatever it was that happened. I don't even remember. But, I mean, not for nothing, but, like, the black content creators on Vine were really getting it done. And some of those people moved on to other roles in the entertainment business, and it was all awesome. I miss Vine. TikTok reminds me so much of Vine that I don't want to think about Vine, but I love Vine. That's why I'm kind of reticent on TikTok, but I might be back in, Jen.
I don't know if this is because of bias, because we put the poll up on Twitter, but mm-hmm. the poll has run away with Twitter. It's 75%.
Instagram
13%. TikTok 11%. And Alan says that Jason Derulo is a TikTok legend.
How can you be a legend already on TikTok? I sound old saying that, but like, I mean, Jason Derulo, how about you put out a banger? You had a couple. I'm joking.
Okay,
I like
so,
Jason Derulo.
So my thing is also, I am in love with the fact that you have all of these creative outlets now. And I sometimes, when I talk to classes, like broadcasting students and whatnot, I tell them, utilize technology. My goodness. Like, I used to have to send out VHS tapes to stations all over the country.
What are you even talking
kids,
about?
Half the audience doesn't even know what that is. Idea what VHS even stands for. He'd be like, what are you talking about? So I always tell them, like, use the TikTok app. It's a simple editing, right? Cut, mm-hmm. hit, you know, cut, drop, edit. It's super easy. And like, the advances that these kids have over us is just insane, which is why in the next 3 years they will all be coming for our jobs.
Hey, well, you know, I'll be right here.
That's why you don't like TikTok. That's why
no,
you don't
I
like
love
it.
TikTok. See, I'm not one of those haters. I just wish I was better on TikTok. That's a joke. I have a 16-year-old brother. He's good on TikTok. Tune in tomorrow. ESPN Radio's coverage of the ESPYs is presented by Capital One. Pre-show coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's followed by the post-show at 11 p.m. Eastern. By the way, the ESPY it goes to TikTok. Dickerson and Hood on ESPN Radio. Clinton Yates and Jen Latta here on a Saturday, taking you home. The show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You want to call us? I wouldn't mind hearing from you on this. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. The ESPYs are tomorrow. Some of us have attended the ceremony. Some of us have not. It is really fun, Jen. I'm not just rubbing it in. I'm saying you would like
it. Oh, no, you're rubbing it in.
I mean, I'm rubbing it in.
But it's fine.
You know, it's one of those things where sometimes people tell you about things and you're like, okay, that's great. But like, they're actually telling you because they want you to like it, not because they're trying to rub it in your face. That's what I'm trying to do here. Like if you told me some event was awesome, I could be like, sure, but that's not for me. This is for you.
Aww.
So give it a rip if and when you get the chance.
Point being,
we are now going over our own personal ESPYs as to what certain categories are. We're picking them on our own. And this one is, what sport has returned from coronavirus the best? Now, let's run down the list. We got UFC. We remember what happened with Fight Island. Quick sidebar. The worst idea ever they had was introducing the concept of Fight Island. Because now, all I want to see is these dudes fight in an outdoor cage with jungle motif everywhere. Give me a real Fight Island, you know?
If you're
gonna
be Chris Harrison as the host. Right? Your guy from ABC, Bachelorette.
Give me a whole Fight Island thing and never put any fight anywhere else. I was intrigued by that idea. I thought they had really something going. Alas, now they're still back though. They're making fights. It's been awkward. So there's UFC. Of course, there's soccer, which Bundesliga has come back. Let us also not forget that the NWSL has a tournament coming up in Utah.
Is EPL Make sure to back check too?
Did EPL I see is back. I watched the match this morning. There is controversy over the crowd sounds. That came back. Golf came back. We had a tournament today. Of course, we had the fun situation with Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and Phil Mickelson. That was fun too. That doesn't really count, but whatever. And we're watching right now NASCAR on the track go around at Talladega. Now, all of these have different values in terms of what they've done for themselves versus what they've done for each other. But Jen and I happen to be in agreement on who gets the ESPYs here, and it's not even close. Jen, take it away.
It's NASCAR. NASCAR, which only received 15% of the popular vote, but since Clinton and I are the Electoral College, we're going to dictate the outcome of this here vote. NASCAR, think about it. 2 months ago, guys, a driver used the N-word on a live stream, like a virtual race, right? And, mm-hmm. and NASCAR swiftly kicked that person out. Gone.
Yep.
No job. This is NASCAR, which for a long time was synonymous with the stars and bars, which I still say is way too colloquial for what that actually symbolized, but
agreed.
I digress. And here we are, 2 months later, not only banning the Confederate flag, but also having a black driver drive a Black Lives Matter car changing the conversation around the sport, welcoming a new audience that people say was always welcomed but really wasn't, because they were met with hostility whenever they saw a Confederate flag on the RVs and on the pickup trucks in the parking lot headed into the racetrack. So for me, in addition to how well the sport is run and how well they've been doing with the broadcasts, it's a no-brainer that NASCAR has had the best sports return from coronavirus.
And on top of that, the racing is great. The reason why we knew about Kyle Larson dropping that word is because they were getting plenty of eyeballs watching guys play video games, which approaches the way the actual sport looks from a training standpoint, which is tremendous for NASCAR, because the changes that they've had to institute, now that guys are back on the track, have been indicative of what's going on. They're not running practice runs. Guys are driving iRacing. We've learned about these lower tiers of driving where guys are coming up through, racers rather, are coming up through the video game setup. iRacing is huge for training. People don't realize that. This product translated so well from quarantine to levels 1 through 4 or whatever to right now on TV. I mean, sure, I'm sure it affects the drivers somewhat that there's nobody in the crowd. But now that these crowds have been changed dramatically, and if you don't think that bringing the Confederate flag down doesn't change the crowds dramatically, you haven't been paying attention. I will tell you why. Your boy has been a NASCAR fan for 20 years. And I daggone sure ain't never been in a race. You know why? Hello, the stars and bars. And it wasn't that I refused in the context of anything other than personal safety. It's not like I had some political stance against the Confederate flag. I don't need to have a political stance against the Confederate flag. It's just that I ain't going nowhere where that bad boy could potentially fly with any reasonability. Never mind does. This is far and away NASCAR. And I say that as somebody that already was a fan. They're bringing people in, which is amazing at this point. I am wildly impressed with how that league has managed to keep their product relevant as well as progressive in the face of a problem. It wasn't just that Bubba Wallace drove a Black Lives Matter car. It wasn't just that they protested before the race in Atlanta. It wasn't just that a guy who was an actual NASCAR official got out there and took a knee and put up a fist. You know what it was? It was that when Bubba asked, they did it. And it may not have been for every single reason that we think. It might have been as much a business decision and probably was and should have been. But the fact that their responsiveness indicated they were paying attention and doing the actual listening that so many of y'all white folks talk about you want to do, but that doesn't really involve any action on your own, and it just means not talking. NASCAR implemented that after Bubba said, you know what would be great? How about you just tear that down too? And they did. I'm still shocked about it, Jen. And I still am happy about it as well.
I mean, it was an unbelievable come from behind victory, in my opinion. If we're talking about the race of progressiveness, I feel like NASCAR was real far in the back, right? They were like, hobbling, man, in that first 200. And you were like, all right, well, we're not even going to consider NASCAR. You start talking about the people who are up in front, the NBAs of the world and some of these other sports that have really put themselves at the forefront of these conversations. And then all of a sudden, it was like pit stop, new tires, fix some stuff, and poo! Checkered flag to NASCAR. When the NASCAR president says, our sport must do better at a nationally televised event, that is seeping into the living rooms of all of the people who had far too long found comfort in the fact that they weren't doing better, right? Ryan McGee had an incredible quote, and it was so profound when it comes to NASCAR and some of the pushback that fans had about the Confederate flag being banned. And even one driver who said that, you know, the way things were going and the banning of the Confederate flag, that he was going to then get out of NASCAR racing. Ray Ciccarelli, I think, or something his name was. Excuse me for not knowing exactly who he was, because the dude had zero wins to his name. But Ryan McGee's quote was, every animal reacts with fear when extinction feels like a possibility. Racists are no different. And I thought that was incredibly profound with the visceral reaction that some people had towards the banning of the Confederate flag, as though it was somehow harming them and harming their sport, when in fact it was opening the doors to so many others who, like you, Clinton, had never been to an event for the sole reason of the hostile symbol that you had to be confronted with whenever you would attempt to go through the gates.
As Ryan McGee said when I was on their show talking about this, he asked the question, what will NASCAR ever do without the likes of Ray Cicirelli? I'll tell you what they'll do. Survive and advance. Dickerson and Hood. In fact, Clinton Yates and Jen Latta on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 80. The program is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests today have appeared via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We had Bobby Marks, ESPN front office NBA insider. He talked about what it's going to be like to be down in Orlando. He might be there himself. I thought one of the interesting things he broke down was about the Tier 1 versus Tier 2 element of the media coverage, as in there's going to be some people who are just allowed in the building, others who are allowed to talk to all coaches. That's going to be fascinating. We had Akeem Liu, who is of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, discussing where the game is. I thought it was interesting that he pointed out that they've been trying to do this since November. They didn't just pop up in May or June talking about we got to change this just because they saw some people protesting on television. This just happened to dovetail with what it is their cause has been for a while. And, of course, we just talked to Mark Kalinske. And that was a tremendous conversation in terms of him and his wife dealing with the loss of their son in college football to suicide and everything that that means just in terms of mental health across the board for sports and athletes. However, we have to get to the topic at hand because the ESPYs are tomorrow night and we've had our ESPY winners today. Our first topic was, what is the best show that's filled the sports void? The winner was Tiger King. Now, when Jen Latta claims she's too good for Tiger King is beneath what she cares about. I'm messing with you. But no, you didn't like Tiger King, but you watched Tiger King, right?
Yes, let's be clear. Did I still watch every episode start to finish, Clinton Yates? Yes, I did. Every single one.
Okay. Fair enough.
So while, again, it was one of those things where I despised myself as I was watching because I was like, I can't believe I'm contributing to this. This is so despicable. These people. Look, here's my issue with it. Who was I supposed to root for? You know who I rooted for? I rooted for the damn Tigers.
Right.
I wanted them to eat all of them.
It was not exactly the highest caliber of character individual that was on that program, but whatever. The next one was, of course, the best quarantine app. We decided on TikTok based on a video I saw just today of four brothers dancing in a parking lot. One of them putting some extra sauce on it because he's a daggone star. If you haven't seen it, check it out on Twitter at Clinton Yates, at Jen Latta. We broke that thing down real nice. Are you joining TikTok, Jen, or is it just going to be your son in the family who does?
Probably not. I'll leave that to the 11-year-old. He's pretty good at it. He's starting to get obsessed a little bit, right? Like, he's like, oh, I have so many followers and this many people liked my video and all that. And I have to be like, put the phone down. So
he's making content. At least he's being creative.
He is creating content. You talk to kids all the time.
Yep, you know, journalists, young journalists, so.
Use the platforms, man. They exist. I never had them.
Exactly. And, of course, the last one, which is the best sport to return to the game since COVID hit, and we decided that was NASCAR. Jen,
yeah, we electoral college that one because the popular vote picked golf, which how exactly is golf any different after Corona? It's the same except you don't have reporters sticking a microphone in the golfers' faces. Right now they stand in front of a stationary microphone and answer questions remotely. But the change of where NASCAR was pre-pandemic to where they are now, like, it's undeniable. And it's so, so far different that we had to just go, listen, guys.
Right.
Good job voting. You're wrong. We got this.
Exactly. For those of you who don't know, less than 2 months ago, we had a driver drop an N-bomb on a broadcast, and then we ended up with no Confederate flags allowed at NASCAR tracks. That is unbelievable. However, here's what changed about golf, Jen. Two things. Number one, that whole Tiger, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Phil Mickelson thing, dude, that was tight. And, like, I really enjoyed that application of golf. I was engaged in that, and not just because of the personalities, but because they talked about golf. I don't even like golf that much. But there was something about the discussion element, which is what people like about actually golfing, that brought me into it. And so when I watched for the first time a couple weeks ago a golf tournament, and there was nobody there, I was like, yo, this is weird. Golf is already quiet. This is super quiet in a way that was almost bizarre. And so between nobody talking and dead silence on the course, to me, the golf product has gone down, unfortunately, because it's just too weird.
It's interesting because that's the issue that some players have now vocalized with potentially having the Ryder Cup without fans, right? Because the Ryder Cup is that outlier in the golf space where fans can interact and they can weigh in and you can, you know, get in the hole! And nobody says, oh, that guy, really? Yeah. But if fans aren't allowed, how does that take away from the Ryder Cup experience? And guys saying, man, I may as well just stay home. Like, it's not worth it. But look, the thing about the Mickelson and Tiger thing is it's just not representative of golf going forward, right? Like, if they were like, hey, this thing was fantastic and we're going to do this for every week, you know, we're going to pull up some celebrities and pull up something. Now there's some progress that I could get behind.
I hear you. I don't even need celebrities, though. I'd like to learn about the guys on the tour. I realize that these rounds are for money, and so they can't exactly be chumming it up. But you know what? They also could, because there's a lot of money on the line. Hey, maybe you just got to talk now. You know, maybe that's just a part of what we do. You better mix in some banter, because we got to have people watching. Because otherwise, ain't nobody going to stand there and watch you stare at a hole for 45 minutes, you know what I mean, while two guys circumnavigate the periphery of the green and tell you how long it is. You got to talk to us now. There is more to be had that they're leaving on the table content-wise, and I think it shows.
The only thing more guaranteed in golf than a terrible hat tan line is that they consider their reads of the course to be proprietary information. Clinton, they aren't sharing that stuff.
Fair.
So, right, they flip open their little notebook, they look around to make sure no one's watching, and they take their little notes, and then they get back to the golfing. So, I think conversation would be great, but after about 3 minutes, it would be basically like, how's the wife? Good. Kids? Good. Florida? Good. Okay, let's get back to not talking.
Good point. Good point. Maybe I'm asking too much here on the golf course. I just know that I've seen some legendary trash talk on golf courses that I've not even been playing on. So that's good and happy to see. So this has been good. This has been a good weekend. I felt like I haven't seen you in such a long time, Jen. You know what I'm saying? We used to do OTL together. Now COVID's got us all cooped up in our cribs. But this has been fun. Your thoughts?
This has been fun. And I'll be back tomorrow. I'm doing a show with Courtney Cronin. It's Women in Sports Day on ESPN Radio. So we'll be tackling that. It's also Father's Day. Let's take the opportunity to wish a happy Father's Day to our dads.